Welcome to the Friday edition of the Afternoon Show on One Way FM. Your host this afternoon is Angie.
On today's show, we have a very special guest. His name is John Evans. He is a legend in bushwalking. John is an aging baby boomer. Blessed by Gay, his wonderful wife of 46 years. Blessed by fabulous children and their spouses. Blessed with special grandchildren in San Diego and Sydney. And certainly blessed by God. John was ordained in 1992 and is a non-staff pastor at Eternity Church in Canberra. The author of Johnny Boy's Walkabout blog, which chronicles bushwalking in the ACT and nearby New South Wales, John is always encouraging others to get out and breathe a bit of fresh air. He enjoys bushwalking, mountain bike riding, snowshoeing, kayaking, and geocaching. Wow, John, I am so happy to have you on our show.
Thank you, Angie. It's a real pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
I heard that you are very active indeed.
While I can, I think a good motto is for, well, it's certainly for me, while you can, you should.
You should, absolutely. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Very true.
And just before we talk more about this bushwalking activity group that you have, please tell us a little bit about yourself, more than what I just said.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity. Oh, golly, I was born in a previous century, even a previous millennium, way before the time of computers and mobile phones and things like that. And My dad was a banker, and so during the early years of my life, we moved around a lot. I suppose I only went to spent 3 years at each school as we moved around, first of all, central western New South Wales, and then Sydney, and then Tasmania, before I came up to Australia National University in 1967. But looking through those years or recalling those years, I think the most wonderful thing I remember is the model of life that I got from my parents. They were very gentle. My dad was a real gentle man. My mum was a wonderful homemaker. And I think having that foundation in life, as well as going to church, and I suppose we can talk a little bit more about that later, mm-hmm. but having that upbringing really set me up for life. And so in 1967, I came to university, met my future wife, and haven't left Canberra since. It's been a wonderful place to bring up children. Yes, it's the national capital of our country, but it's also our hometown, and it's been beaut to us in that sense.
And it's a great place for you to walk about, isn't it?
Ah, fabulous. you know, more than half of the ACT is public land. Mm. Most people would know the Namadgi National Park. Down in the south, that's about 49%, I think, and you add all the wonderful little spaces in the suburbs. I think there are 33 little parts, little nature reserves of the Canberra Nature Park. And the people that plan Canberra and keep it that way, I think it's wonderful that most people can be 5 minutes from a little bit of bush and a little bit of exercise.
Bushwalking, doing physical activities, is that your passion?
It probably started in once I got to be semi-retired and the children had left home and were making their own way. I started bushwalking with the Canberra Bushwalking Club, mm-hmm. and each year they run a navigation course, and mm-hmm. I did that in 2004, mm-hmm. and I got sucked right in. And so my dear wife says it's changed from not only a passion but to an obsession now. And I really like to walk a couple of days a week. It's a little bit difficult to get away on extended trips with mm-hmm. other responsibilities that I have, but there's so much fabulous walking within. Look, we're just so blessed, so fortunate that you can drive for half an hour on sealed roads and start walking and you're out in the wonderful nature.
Exactly. Apart from walking, is there any other thing that you love to do?
I'm learning now, Angie, because I have sore feet at the moment, which is not good for a bushwalker. I have plantar fasciitis, so I went to the podiatrist and got some custom orthotics made, and she said, well, really, the best treatment is to stop walking for a period. And I said, well, can you stop breathing? And so I've cut back a little bit on the walking, but I have a mountain bike, so I enjoy that, except not at the moment because the magpies are swooping.
Oh, yes.
So I have about 100 cable ties in my helmet, you know, sticking up to discourage the good birds as they swoop you. And a couple of years ago, a friend loaned me a kayak, but it was short and stout. And so whenever I went out with my friends in their fancy boats, I not only embarrassed myself, but I'll probably embarrass them. So recently I was fortunate enough to be able to purchase a new kayak. So it's a narrow, pointy boat. I can paddle it a bit and so enjoy the lakes around Canberra. And in a few weeks' time, I'm off on a six-day kayaking trip on the Snowy River.
Wow.
So I hope the life jacket that I'll be wearing 24 hours a day will keep me alive.
Wow, that'll be a challenge, wouldn't it?
It certainly will be.
Yes.
I've never kayak paddled down a rapid before, and so there are grade one to grade three rapids, whatever that means. But it is a commercial trip, and so they introduce you to it gradually.
Yeah. Oh, there'll be lots of other people with you, right?
Yes. I'm sure there'll be four or five or six participants and a couple of guides.
You'll be fine with a life jacket.
Thank you for your confidence.
I do, with you for sure.
You're listening to One Way FM, the afternoon show on Friday with Angie.
Tell us, who is your role model in life?
That's a great question, Angie. I think God puts people in your life for the stage that you're going through and that he's moving you into. And so, as I said already, my dad was a great role model to me as to how I should operate as a man and as a husband and as a father. In terms of my Christian walk, I've had a number of what I would call spiritual fathers over the time, people that have encouraged me to try things that I wouldn't have thought was for me, but obviously God had them for me and delivered that encouragement through others. One in particular, I can remember, he was my senior minister at the time, and I was involved, hadn't really joined a church at the time. I was working in a parachurch organisation. And he said to me, John, you can remain, you know, broad but perhaps shallow, or you can put your roots down and you can put them down deep in a local church. So thank goodness I took that advice, and my wife and I and my family, we established ourselves in Eternity Church at Canberra. Now, in terms of fitness or those sorts of things that I'm involved in, I've already mentioned the couple that ran the navigation course in the Canberra Bushwalking Club. And they are responsible for all or many of the things that I do these days. So
yes.
Rob and Jenny were then and still are a great inspiration to me. In terms of my personal life, this may seem a little strange, but my wife Gay is a fantastic role model for me in the way that she tackles the things in her life, in the way that she just remains so positive she is a bit weak in body, but tremendously, tremendously strong in spirit. Mm. And so if I can be like that, that's great. So they're the sorts of people that encourage me in different areas in my life.
Absolutely. You're carried by God, really, to do the business that you're doing now. But these people have inspired you to be more physically well and healthy in order to do much more for God.
Yes. And look, like I hope most people do, like I hope everyone does, I'll inquire of the Lord, you know, what really is my role in life right now?
Yes.
And the answer over the last few years is to care for my wife. And I guess part of that is for me to maintain my physical well-being so I can lift and tote and cook. I'm a terrible cook and I don't like it, but I am the primary cook in our house. And but to do things like that. Yeah.
I guess with cooking, it is hard for most people who haven't really been in the kitchen much. But once you get into it, it's a gift too. You learn how to utilize the utensils and cooking gadgets and stuff. Because the first time I cooked, I'd never been into the kitchen because my mother wouldn't let me go into the kitchen because academic area was so important in Taiwan, in most parts of the Asian region. And my mother wanted me to study hard because I would never learn how to cook. So first time I learned how to cook, I fed other people and they didn't want to eat it. So we thought, oh, such a pity. So we gave the food to the dogs. The dogs wouldn't eat it. It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. But later on, I learned how to cook. I actually prayed about it. Lord, please help me to cook better for your kingdom.
Yep.
And suddenly I could cook.
I need to take on that way of doing it because, Angie, for me, food is just energy. And so if I could take a pill to give me that energy, but I hear what you say. Perhaps I should be praying that that I'll get some love of cooking and do some different things.
Yeah, it's a gift to serve others, I really believe. You look at your church, any community service, you see some people never go on the stage to shine in front of others, and they cook so much food for so many people, they work so hard, and you have such a wonderful time at church and whatever, but these people have worked hard behind the scenes.
Yeah, we have a wonderful lady at church who cooks every Saturday and brings her products to church for sale afterwards. And the presentation of them, again, to me, presentation is a major thing. She's got some beautiful little boxes and cellophane things that you can bring your cupcakes home in. And
Yes.
It really is a gift, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, since we're talking about food, because you're so fit, you're so healthy, and you mentioned all this inspiration in your life, and now you're learning how to cook, and it's a gift. You use it to serve your wife and help your wife. It's a beautiful thing. Do you actually watch your diet?
I guess I'm fortunate enough that I can eat just about anything and not have to watch my diet. I suppose like you, I get enough exercise to maintain a healthy body weight. I'm not a great fan of takeaway or so-called junk food. And you know, you drive to Sydney once a year and you stop somewhere and you eat something like that. And you may look forward to it, but as you eat, you're reminded that, thank goodness, you only do it once a year. Yes. We, of course, eat a healthy and a balanced diet at home, and again, we're blessed to be able to purchase the appropriate sorts of foods and enjoy them.
I think most people are so worried about certain diet and they're trying so hard. In fact, I think healthy, balanced diet is so important. Also, everything in moderation. Don't overeat. Everything in balance.
That's right.
Then it should be okay.
Yep.
Apart from that, doing regular exercise, you should be okay.
That's right.
And look, it's not important, but you should feel alright.
Yep.
And that's the energy that you need to go through the day, to serve God, serve others.
And, you know, scripture tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That way we should make an effort to look after it and use it appropriately.
Yes, take good care of ourselves. So let's go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to hear more about this bushwalking group.
You're listening to One Way FM, the afternoon show on Friday with Angie.
Welcome back to the afternoon show on Friday. today, we have a very special guest. His name is John Evans. He is a wonderful bushwalker as well as a bike rider, and he also does kayaking and geocaching. Sounds so fabulous. Geocaching is such a rewarding thing to do when you go bushwalking, isn't it, John?
It is fun, and I guess it just provides another reason to get out in the bush and enjoy nature. Yeah.
And tell us, when and why did you establish this bushwalking group?
Well, I guess you're referring to, Angie, Johnny Boy's Walkabout blog.
Yes.
Which is, can I first tell you the story about how it got that name? Mm-hmm. My daughter, who lives in Sydney, mm-hmm. When she wants to press my buttons, she calls me Johnny Boy instead of Dad or something Ooh. Like that. So she calls me Johnny Boy. So that's where the Johnny Boy comes from.
I like it.
I do have a great respect for the indigenous population that's been before us in this country and has walked this land that we live on, and so I guess that's where Walkabout comes from. It's not meant to be frivolous. It's meant to show respect for them, and of course a blog is a recording of all my walks. Initially I set it up because I thought my wife and my children might be interested in having a look at the photos and and where I went, but unfortunately they didn't show any interest at all. Gay says, my wife Gay says, you're always taking pictures of rocks and trees. How about a few people? And so that's why she's not terribly interested. Mm-hmm. I guess another reason, I had a career in the public service in the IT industry, and so I wanted to keep abreast of what was happening there, and so I originally constructed it fully myself. It's taken on a life of its own, I guess, in that quite a number of few hundred people follow it, and I'd get maybe two or three questions each month from people either interstate or overseas coming to Canberra and the ACT and nearby New South Wales wanting to walk, and so looking for advice where to walk or what are the conditions like or so on like that. And so I've been able to provide a service. I looked at monetizing it at one stage, and then I just said, I'll blow it. I mean, we're walking in, we're stewarding, we're enjoying creation that came to us freely, and so why should I be looking to make money by sharing information? And so it's available free for anyone who wants to look at the photos, read about a trip. There are some technical things there. You can pull down a GPS track and follow it. And so that's how Johnny Boy's bushwalking blog came about. But primarily I walk with the Canberra Bushwalking Club, and so those blog posts chronicle each of the trips that I do.
Well, that's amazing, because I have heard a lot about you, Johnny Boy, how you've taken people to different places. And it's certainly, I feel from my heart that it's actually God's calling for you. And it's a way that you can use this to reach out to others, and you enjoy God's creation freely. And you're sharing this gift with others, and you're able to exercise. It's a win-win. You are doing something great for the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body, and you're helping others to maintain the temple of the Holy Spirit in them and to keep them healthy for God. Yep. So therefore they can do much more for God. Good on you.
It is a win-win.
It is a win-win, and I'm so proud of you. Oh, well, let's have a little break.
You're listening to One Way FM, the afternoon show on Friday with Angie.
Today we have a very special guest, John Evans. John is a wonderful bushwalker, and he's totally blessed by God with his passion for walking and for other people to stay healthy and get fit. So John, you were talking about how and why you established this bushwalking group. Which places have you taken people to bushwalking so far?
Angie, as I said before, it's difficult to get a long way from home. In fact, I have friends walking in Croatia and Slovenia at the moment. Other friends walk in New Zealand, walk interstate. Most of my walking is around Canberra in the ACT and nearby New South Wales. But I do have some favourite places, and my most favourite place would be the hills in the centre of Namadgi National Park, and there's one up there called Mount Namadgi. I go there, or I have gone there a number of years for my birthday in November, and it's a pretty hard walk. It's about 14 hours walk, so that's a good use of the day. It's about 30 kilometres, so 15 there and back. And I'd take some friends, and I'd actually take a bottle of champagne to celebrate my birthday. We'd get up the top of the hill, and look, it is a magnificent place.
Wow.
It is subalpine, so there are no trees, or the trees are very, very low and windblown. So you have a 360-degree view. To approach the mountain, you go through a great Aboriginal stone arrangement, which is really wonderful to see. Anyway, we get up the top, and I appoint a cork catcher, because you might imagine that a bottle of Australian sparkling wine after jiggling around for 7 hours in my pack is pretty gassed up. So we pop the bottle, and look, there might be six of us, and we'd probably get through half a bottle, because we realise that we've got another 7 hours walking through the bush. There are no tracks to come home, and so you pop the cork back in the bottle, and it jiggles around in your pack as you walk home, and it pops every now and again. But one of the marvellous things I always say, when we're down in our everyday life in town, you feel like at times you're flapping around like an old chook. You get up the top of a mountain and you feel like you're a soaring eagle. It gives you a different perspective on life. In fact, as we know, Jesus went up mountains to pray early in the morning. And so, with some special friends, that's a wonderful place. So I plan to go again this November, except celebrating my 70th birthday. It will be a two-day walk. It won't be a one-day walk.
Wow.
But that's a wonderful place to go.
Yeah.
There are other indigenous rock paintings and sites within Namadgi National Park. Mm-hmm. There are also wonderful walks and tracks that celebrate European use of the area.
Mm.
And so, fabulous. Rivers, mountains, wonderful places to walk with friends and enjoy nature.
Yes. Tell us that mountain you're going to go on for your 70th birthday.
Mount Namadgi.
How, just in case some of our Canberrans who are listening right now or people who are just visiting this city don't really know where that is, could you explain how we get there?
There's a road that runs down south through the ACT, down through Tharwa, the Nace Road, and then it turns into the Boboyan Road.
Yes.
And then there's a dirt track that goes off that called the Old Boboyan Road.
Yes.
Goes into the Yankee Hat Car Park.
Ah.
From there, you look across some grasslands and up into the mountains.
Yes.
But it is trackless, so.
Yes.
So you really need to know your navigation. You need to be walking with a party of others. I wouldn't advise people to go there by themselves.
Don't do it by yourselves. Do contact Johnny Boy, Johnny Boy's blog. Now, before we do that, I want to say something. 30 kilometres takes one day?
Unfortunately, for those that have been in Canberra for a while, they'd remember the 2003 bushfires, firestorms, which affected just about all of Namadgi National Park. And
yes.
So the regrowth since then is quite horrendous. So in some places, you can only walk at less than 1 kilometre an hour. I mean, other places are open and you can walk at 3 or 4 kilometres an hour. But the regrowth is quite thick, quite dense, and you're climbing up. Of course, it is a hill.
Wow.
So it's a long day. It's a hard day. But as I said, the rewards.
Marvellous view,
there.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, if you really seriously want to lose weight, I guess you go for a 30 kilometres walk. You'll get it, I think. That's a long walk.
It is. Well, I've done a couple that are a little longer. A couple of years ago, there was an organisation in Canberra putting on the Canberra 100 challenge.
Yes.
And so they were either walks or runs. distance of 25 or 50 or 100 kilometres.
Oh.
So I decided to get in those and raise some money for the Beryl Women's Shelter. And so for the 2 years that I walked, I raised about $13,000. Uh-huh. And I had some even more wonderful friends who paced me through the night. So I walked for 100 kilometres. I think the first year took me about 26 hours, and the second time I did it about 22 hours.
Wow.
But it was wonderful to walk through the night. That's something else I enjoy too.
Hmm. Yeah, that's incredible, because my nephew actually went on a bushwalking experience with his uncles, two of them, and they went from here all the way down to the south coast at night.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you really need to be on a good surface to walk on, and of course a head torch.
Yes.
But it is magnificent when either there is a full moon or little moon and the stars.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You're listening to One Way FM, the afternoon show on Friday with Angie.
Okay, John, we were talking about all the beautiful places and mountains you've taken people to bushwalking before while you were walking 15, 30 kilometers, whatever they were. And you were mentioning you felt like you were a chook. But once you get on the mountain, you felt like you were a soaring eagle.
That's right.
Because of the wonderful view of mountains and rivers. I can just imagine the rewarding results that you did after 30 kilometers of walk and drinking your champagne on your birthday.
And probably the mountain walk. Water is even better than the champagne.
When you're thirsty, I think water is better than champagne.
That's right.
Now, did you ever encounter any challenges during any of the walkabout experience?
I think the greatest challenge and one of the greatest enjoyments is that you can pack everything on your back. You can pack your house in the sense that you have a tent. You can pack your larder in the sense that you have your food. You can pack your stove in that your cooking stove in that you take a little gas stove with you. All those sorts of things that you need for life.
Mm.
And the interesting challenge is if you forget something, you are either cold or hungry or
Uh-oh.
Wet or lost or something like that.
Oh, my.
One challenge, one time a friend broke his ankle, so we had to organise an extraction by helicopter, and so that was an interesting challenge. Another one I remember on someone else's walk a year or so ago, a visiting lady from Canada had a very severe fall, and golly, after the crash and the silence, we actually thought that she would have hit her head and died. And so we were just so thankful when we heard her call out, "I'm okay." So they're the major challenges. I think if you prepare well, walk with a group, know where you're going, know how you can exit if the conditions change, the challenges are more enjoyable.
So that's obviously a very few rare occasions
where there have been real difficulties, yes.
Most of the time would have been easy. So really, to prevent that, I guess you give them clear instruction. Hopefully they will listen. And then perhaps you were saying, don't forget to bring the things you need.
That's right. Exactly,
so mainly those things. So you would have learned from your experience throughout your life, and you would have been fantastic in organizing everything.
Yeah, I was green and didn't know what to bring or what to do when I first started.
So
it's beautiful to be able to provide opportunities for people coming along to join in and learn and become self-sufficient and in turn pass that on to others.
In some ways, they're learning a lot from you about how to survive in the bush.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're learning from me, but anyway, they're enjoying it.
And what would you say the gear, what should we wear if when we go for a long walk with you? Is there a special type of shoes or outfit?
Yeah, I mean, there are technical pieces of gear, but probably the most important thing would be your boots or your shoes and protection from the sun in the coming season and protection from the rain, a decent raincoat. But we tend to wear layers of clothing, which allows you to regulate your temperature a little bit better. You know, instead of one, for example, one big heavy jumper, you might have on two or three layers of lighter thermal stuff.
Yes.
Air's trapped in between and can keep your temperature more even. We wear gaiters so you don't bash your shin against the rocks, and perhaps if a snake strikes at you, you may give you some protection.
Yes, yes.
So, yes, there is technical gear. I'm finding as I get older, the gear has to become lighter.
Yes.
And so, typically if you're out overnight, you might be carrying 14 kilograms or something like that, of that order on your back with all your gear.
And you can easily get all these sort of gear from outdoor shop.
Yes, or a lot of technical gear we buy over the internet now.
And can you tell us how we find you?
If people would be interested in hearing more about walking, coming on walks with me, you can contact me from my my blog, Johnny Boy's Walkabout blog. That's at johnevans.id.au, and my email address and my telephone number is all over that.
Oh, good.
I really like giving new people the opportunity to just extend themselves slightly. You don't want to get someone into a situation where they're overly anxious, but equally to extend yourself slightly is a good way to learn and work through new experiences.
Absolutely. What about all those interesting gadgets that you have to use, like the navigating things? Do anybody has to have one or just you?
Well, certainly if you walk with the Canberra Bushwalking Club, there'll be leaders of each walk that would be responsible for the navigation and equally share with you the techniques that they use, either map and compass, which is really the best way because a compass doesn't have batteries that go flat, else so I can get by as a map and compass navigator, but I am interested in babble and techno gadgets and so I do use a GPS and carry plenty of spare batteries.
But you know, some people are addicted to their phones. So when you go for a walkabout or bushwalking, you really cannot use your phone, right?
There's
no reception.
There is no reception and it's not good to rely on it. Although I often say jokingly, it's nothing like a bushwalk with good social media connections. So you can post a photo from a high hill. Really is for me about trying to inspire others to get out there, and the phrase that I use, breathe a bit of fresh air.
It's
wonderful, and particularly kids. I'm doing some bushwalking with year 9, 10 students of Covenant College at the moment.
Good.
And so to get them out climbing a hill or going down to the Murrumbidgee River and things like that, just to expose them to walking and see if they like it and want to continue with it.
You're listening to One Way FM. Welcome back to the afternoon show, and we have John Evans with us today. He is a legend in bushwalking. This is what someone said about him on the Facebook. I hope Robin doesn't mind me reading about it. Now, Robin said, "Finally have the time to do this properly. This guy, which is John Evans, is amazing. Long before I walked with him, he was this bushwalking legend discussed around the Thursday barbecue circle. Everyone in Canberra seemed to know him or of him. His blog is this phenomenal resource, freely available to all. And then I finally got up the courage to email him about joining a walk. You are in. You look pretty young and fit from your Facebook profile picture. No doubt you've done a bit of bush bashing and the rest is history." So you said that, didn't you? You said that to Robin.
Yeah.
You look good enough to come for a walk. Oh, good one. Well, that's a challenge. Well, this is what she says. "Quite a few very challenging adventures have happened since, and every one of them has been an absolute joy. Thanks to John's indomitable spirit and superb navigation skills, at least with the benefit of many weeks and many months since the torture anyway." Oh, my. This is what she says about you. She was actually, can you tell us about her? A little bit about her.
Robin is an inspiration to me, actually. She's a young lady involved at the moment in STEM leadership program, and I understand next January she gets a trip, a boat trip to Antarctica as part of that leadership training. But yeah, there are many people that I've met through bushwalking that are inspiring to me, that are moving forward in their own fields and doing their own things, have their own goals and aspirations, and just contributing to society in that way. But we're very fortunate in the club, and the clubs are perhaps things for older people these days, and so the Canberra Bushwalking Club has put a lot of effort into trying to attract younger people, and we're starting to do that. So there's a whole new cohort of younger women and men coming through that are enjoying walks and perhaps going on to leading others, and I know Robin has done that.
Oh, that's wonderful. And just a little bit more. Did anyone else ever give you any feedback after they walked? Maybe during the walk, they might go, oh, this is so hard. Why did I even come to this? But towards the end, when they saw the view and getting the benefit physically, what did they say to you? Is there any good feedback?
Yeah, well, mostly they're probably puffing and exhausted. And no, look, just to, I suppose, to see it in people's faces and to see it in their eyes, to see them experience something new, a new view. Yeah, of course, people say thank you and so on, and are very kind and with their comments, but. I just like to see other people enjoying themselves and having new experiences.
Well, as Robin was saying, that it was an absolute joy. And this, she went on to say, this is, I have to say, she said it again, he's a legend, an inspiration, and I hope to share many more adventures with him. So thanks, John Evans. John, you are a legend. So thank you for what you have done for many, many people in Canberra. I salute you.
Thank you, Angie. It's been a real pleasure to have the opportunity to talk about my passion.
Yes.
To share it with us, and hopefully encourage others to get out and breathe a bit of fresh air.
Yes, yes. Now, we know that Jesus used to walk. Why? Because they didn't have many buses or bikes or cars. They didn't have any, literally, really. I mean, they only had a few little horses and donkeys carrying them around. And Jesus and his disciples would have walked from town to town, who knows, 30 k's every day maybe.
Yep, yep.
So you're actually doing what Jesus did.
That's right. Yeah, well, I hope in all aspects of my life I'm walking in his footsteps.
Yeah, I think you are. If you look into the society nowadays, we have cars, buses, trains, we have planes. So I think less people are walking nowadays. And what you're doing is actually reverting back to what's best for us, to walk, right? I mean, Apostle Paul mentioned to run the race. To me, that is such a blessing to hear these people from so many, 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 many years ago, thousands of years ago, telling us physical fitness and spiritual fitness is to run the race physically, to walk as well, and to run the race spiritually for God.
That's right.
So you're doing something wonderful, and you have no idea how beneficial it is for our spiritual beings as well.
That's right. Yep. Yes. I totally agree with you.
Yes, so our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And you are a wonderful supporter for God. Now we're about to close our interview. I would love you to give us three tips for our listeners how to stay healthy and get fit. Give us three tips.
Oh, I've probably got about 103, Angie, but...
Four. I don't mind.
The first one would be, I mean, it sounds silly, but to start, to actually do it, to actually make a commitment for the next day to get up and do some exercise, go for a walk, whatever it might be for you. The second tip would be to make it's a whole lot easier, well, for someone with a personality type like me, to go with someone else. So in a sense, you commit, you've committed yourself, you've got to be there. I'm terrible in the morning at waking up, and so if I'm committed to meet someone at 6:30 in the morning at a car park to go for a walk, that gets me going, because of course you don't want to let someone down. A third tip, I suppose I've already mentioned it, to just extend yourself gradually. Each time you do something, try to do something a little bit more. Not a huge leap, but, you know, the old saying, we eat an elephant one bite at a time. And so they would be my three tips. Start, do it with someone else, and do it in small but increasing steps.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Tell us how our listeners could contact you if they are interested in joining your walking group.
Yep, well, as I said before, from my blog, so www.johnevans.id.au, or in fact, if you just pop in your search engine, I mean, maybe Bushwalking in the ACT or John Evans, and you'll find my email address, my phone number. There's a little applet on my blog that says contact me, so you can leave a message any of those ways.
Johnny Boy's Walkabout blog.
That's it.
So if we type that, it will be on the internet.
Yep.
Straight away, goes straight to you.
It will.
It will. Oh, yep. Wow. Johnny Boy, it has been a pleasure interviewing you today, and I'm just so honored that you are so impressive, incredible, and inspirational. You are a legend in bushwalking, and we're so blessed to have you in Canberra. Thank you so much for coming today on our show.
Thank you, Angie. It has been a pleasure for me too.
God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you, and you.
Thank you. You've been listening to One Way FM, the afternoon show with John and me. Thank you so much, my friends. Until next time, have faith, have hope, stay healthy, and stay tuned on One Way FM.